You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for the privilege of coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. We open today's broadcast service with the selection, I've Found a Refuge.
I found a refuge now from every sorrow. Joy everlasting is free. I see this world with all its sinful follies.
Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. We are thankful for the gospel and thankful for the power of the gospel and what it is able to do in hearts and lives who will receive it. So bless this broadcast service, bless this precious people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From Louisiana, I listen to your broadcast on Sunday mornings on KWDF in the Alexandria Pineville area. Thank you for the wonderful messages of holiness you are preaching for the lost world to hear. Another one from Louisiana. Dear Brother Alvin and staff, I appreciate the truth I receive through the Way of Truth magazine and radio messages. May the Lord bless you to continue this most needed work in Christian love. It would be a blessing to us and encouragement if you'd take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And at the close of our broadcast today, the Lord willing, we'll be giving you our mailing address.
For so long I had searched for lost meaning, enslaved by the world and its greed. But the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear. tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carry, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgave me and now I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the need for holiness. And our text of Scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let me say first of all that I believe the Word of God to be divinely inspired. As the Apostle Paul said, every Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Holiness is a doctrine that is taught in the Bible, yet opposed by many professed Christians. However, it is more than a doctrine. Holiness is a life that is to be lived. Let us consider, first of all, the need for holiness. When one comes into this world, he has a bent towards sin. Some people call it the Adamic nature, some call it the carnal nature, and some call it native depravity, but all of these are speaking of the same thing, that bent towards sin. And because of this nature, man needs holiness, because this nature will lead him into sin and to disobedience to the Almighty God. Because this nature, man needs holiness, I say, because of the satanic seducing and temptations of the devil, man needs holiness. For no man can direct his own steps in the pathway of righteousness. We must have the help of Almighty God if we are going to walk the straight and narrow way, which is indeed the highway of holiness. Holiness is declared to be the way for the people of God to walk. Let us notice again Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 8 and 9. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, the redeemed shall walk there. Now, beloved, the unclean is referring to the sinner, to the unsaved. Whether you're a church member and a sinner or not, the Bible clearly declares here that the unclean are not on the highway of holiness. The way of holiness is not for the unclean. They shall not pass over it. But the highway of holiness is for the redeemed. The redeemed shall walk there. And the redeemed are those who have been brought back, bought back, and have become a child of God through the redemptive grace of Almighty God. The preparation for heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. If you are living a life of sin, you are not headed for heaven. You're on that broad road that leads to destruction. If you ever expect to make heaven your home, you must do so by becoming a holy child of God. And holiness means sinlessness. You are not knowingly committing sin in any way, fashion, or fad. You are doing the will of God to the very best of your knowledge and your understanding. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. In other words, live holy. Follow peace means to live holy and to live peaceably with all men as far as lies within you. We are told by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8, the pure in heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God's people are called to holiness. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. No, God never calls anyone to live a life of sin. No one is living in the will of God. No one is doing the will of God if they are living in sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. It is lawlessness. It is breaking God's commands, disobeying His word. So we are told, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And to be able to see God in peace, you must live holy. God's people are called to holiness, I say, as Paul said here in 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness. No, He has not called us to live a life of sin. He has called us unto holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We are commanded to be holy as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:14-16. And again, I remind you that I am quoting these scriptures from the infallible Word of God, the Word that God has given us to live by. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, beloved, we are not called to uncleanness, but we are called unto holiness. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. In all manner of conversation simply means in all manner of living. The word conversation there is to be understood as our living, the manner of life that we live. Be ye holy, for I am holy, in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 1:15. Holy in love. Yes, holy in love. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned, or in other words, real, genuine love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, Beloved, you cannot have hatred and malice in your heart toward anyone. You cannot have an unforgiving spirit and live a holy life. Jesus has taught us in His Word that if we will not forgive those who trespass against us, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us our trespasses against us. So we have to have a forgiving spirit to be forgiven and to live holy. And we cannot have hatred, we cannot have malice in our heart toward anyone. Oh yes, as Christians, we are to eschew evil. In other words, we are to hate sin, we're to hate evil, we're to hate the devil, and he's the only one that we can hate. But we are to love the sinner, not hate the sinner, but hate his sins. We are to love everybody. Jesus said we should even love our enemies. and love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So the divine love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is a part of living the Christian life. Again, we are to live holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of living, in every area of our lives, on the job, in the home, or wherever we may go, whatever we may do, we are to live a holy, righteous, and godly life. That's what the Apostle Paul told Titus. The grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. We are to worship in holiness as well. Yes, many people worship with their lips, Jesus said. Many worship him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. But Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria, the Father seeketh such to worship him as will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Most worship in the world today is not in spirit and in truth. We are to worship in holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So 1 Chronicles 16 and 29 tells us, yes, we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And you cannot worship God in the beauty of holiness unless you're living holy. No, a sinner cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. I say that in kindness. It's not my intent to offend anyone. It's my purpose and desire to bring you God's holy truth. And a person who is living in sin, disobeying the commands of Almighty God, cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm sorry for what many in the religious world are taught, that they are sinners and that they have to sin more or less every day in word, deed, and truth. The Word of God does not teach that. The Word of God teaches us that we are to live holy and we are to worship in the beauty of holiness. And again, I say, to be able to worship in the beauty of holiness, you must live holy. A sinner cannot worship God in the beauty of holiness. He cannot worship in spirit and in truth. And this is the kind of worship that the Heavenly Father seeks. This is the kind of worship that he desires. Many people worship him in vain. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Yes, people who are worshiping in vain are following the commandments of men and not the commandments of the Word of God. There is a purging or a cleansing of the moral nature. Whenever we are saved and present our bodies a living sacrifice to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a cleansing of the moral nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 4, again, I'm sorry that so many people are taught that you have to have that old carnal nature even after you become a Christian. No, beloved, whenever you become a Christian and present yourself a living sacrifice to God and become the temple of the Holy Spirit, you are to live free from that old Adamic nature. Let me read that passage of Scripture again out of 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So whenever you are saved and filled with the Spirit of God, that old carnal nature or native depravity or whatever you want to call it is eradicated, it's removed. And you have the divine nature. What is the divine nature? It's God's nature. Yes, it's God's nature, because God is divine. God is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Our whole desire is to manifest Christ to the world. being risen with Christ, we seek those things which are above. So we are told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, having been raised from that spiritual state of death to life in Christ, we are to seek those things which are above. Notice this, if ye then be risen with Christ, if ye be resurrected from the dead state of sin to life in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so whenever you are a child of God, filled with the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, then your whole desire is to manifest a true Christian spirit to the world. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Paul said to the Colossian brethren, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're also to live a life separated from all manner of evil, including the spirit of the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away with the affections and lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So seek those things which are above. And if you are a true child of God, living a holy and a godly life, you will do just exactly that. Now, we have listed in the Scriptures the fruit of the Spirit. And whenever you have a real experience of salvation and you are living a holy and a righteous and a godly life, you will be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No, you can have just as much of this as you can possibly get, for there's no law against it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Have it all. Have all that you can have. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now let us back up here a little bit in Galatians chapter 5 and read the opposite. This is the life of the unsaved. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at them, verses 19 through 22. Look at them. Look at the fruit of the flesh, and then look at the fruit of the Spirit and see the difference. Now there's not one thing that's listed in both. No, there's not one thing listed in both. When you look at the life of the ones that are living after the flesh, those that are living in sin, you see the various things that Paul has mentioned here. But when you look at the life of that person who has been truly born again of the Spirit of God and has God dwelling in him through the Spirit, then you see the fruit of the Spirit in his life. So, beloved, as Paul told us in our text today, in Ephesians 1 and 4, we are called unto holiness. And without holiness, remember, we shall not see God in peace. Everyone will see God, yes, but not in peace. So, beloved, holiness is a necessity if you're going to make heaven your home. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holiness is required to walk the narrow way that leads to life eternal, and without it, no man shall see God in peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust that the word of God, as we have given it to this precious people, will find lodgment in hearts. The Holy Spirit will be able to use the program and the message to the good of souls, and they shall be able to come to know thee if they know thee not. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week, and we do trust that our program is being a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know, and we invite you to write us our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you can listen to a number of our Way of Truth broadcasts if you have missed any. And there are also other messages there on our webpage. And then you can join us in our services. Our morning worship service begins Sunday morning, 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet, and our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. I might also add that our services are also on our archives, and if you're not able to join us at the actual time our services are going on, you can listen to them, watch them, and listen to them anytime, day or night, for they are there on our archives on our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with you on the Way of Truth broadcast, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children lesson I learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly take to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, nothing to show. Gone. Far more than you want to pay. Sin will cost you far.